Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you this Sunday morning, the 26th of April, from Scarvis Street Presbyterian Church in Banbridge. And wherever you are, we trust that together we will know God's blessing as we meet in worship. Friends, just before we come to worship God together, just one or two announcements for you. Our midweek studies are continuing, God willing, this Wednesday evening. Studies are available each Wednesday. The first two studies we had were to do with the authority of the Bible. The Bible is true, so we can depend upon what we read from God in the Scriptures. And then we looked at the claims of Jesus, these unique claims that declare that he is the eternal Son of the eternal God. So we have a Bible we can trust, and we can have a Jesus that we need, God's eternal Son, to be our Saviour, our Lord, and our friend. With that foundation, we come to a number of studies in the book of Revelation. Revelation is a book that perhaps for many is a strange and difficult book. But it is a book of symbols and numbers and pictures. And I want just to quote one verse from the first chapter. And it's chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. It's the only book in the Bible which promises a blessing to those who read it. And notice it says, to the one who reads, not a highly intellectual person or a particularly gifted person or a well-read person. It is for everyone. And of course, those who would have read this or heard this read to them in the first century would have been people who perhaps were not as educated as many of us are today. So it is a book for everyone. And just taking it piece by piece, I trust that we'll all learn something of the vastness of God's person, his purpose, his love. And so please tune in on Wednesday and to the website and to look for Bible study tab and just click on that and you'll get this first study in Revelation. And on Sunday morning next, we will come to look at the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2, verses 8 to 17. Friends, these days are difficult, and particularly difficult for those who are sick and are necessarily isolated, difficult for folk in nursing homes, unable to have regular visits, in fact, any visits from family or friends. Friends, this is a particularly sad time for some of our families. Over the last little while, we have lost three in our church family circle. On the 31st of March, Ray Richards died in England and was buried just on Friday past. Ray is a Jamaican man. Julie, his wife, would have been in Scarvis Street in her early years. She moved to England and met and married Ray. They were back in Banbridge just a couple of years, and Ray went over to visit his father in London, and there he contracted the virus and sadly died. So we want to remember Julie in our prayers today. Also, on the 5th of April, we lost George Alexander. George, an aged gentleman, and to his family, Gloria, Melvin, Maxine, Noel, and Carol, and their family circle, we too extend our sincere sympathy. And on the 13th of April, George Ewart passed away peaceably at home. And to Marjorie, his wife, and to his family, John, Ivan, Valerie, and the family circle, we want to extend our sincere sympathy. As you know, George would have been in the porch every Sunday morning and was a great welcomer, and we miss George particularly in that very special role that he did. Let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we bless you for the knowledge of your presence, for the comfort that you alone can bring. And Father, we gladly and lovingly remember these families. Be pleased to watch over Julie in the loss of her husband Ray. Be with Gloria and Melvin, Maxine, Noel and Carol as they remember with fondness their father. And Lord, also be with Marjorie and John and Ivan and Valerie and their family and family circle as they miss George today. Lord, hear our prayer and bless those who sorrow, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, as we come to God's word this morning, we think of a simple title, but yet the title conveys an amazing truth: dust to glory. In Genesis 2, verse 7, we read of how we're made from the dust of the ground, but yet God's purpose, through his breath within us, is that we might be lifted to the glory of his heaven. Friends, we come to bring our praise to God. We sing from Mission Praise 1350, Speak, O Lord. And as we sing this, we remember that we stand on God's promises and we walk by faith in the knowledge of his love and his presence and the beauty of his purposes. We lift our voices in praise.
That can never fail. Let the truth prevail.
Friends, we come to God in prayer as we bow together before the throne. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. And we thank you that prayers are being offered day and daily across your world in the name of Jesus. As your people gather together, perhaps around a laptop or a phone, as people come together in worship. Lord, as a church family, we delight to come before you and to come in Jesus' lovely and precious name. How lost we would be if we had never heard of him. How uncertain our future. An uncertain, frail, and frustrated future without Jesus. Without the knowledge of his power, power to deal with sin, power to deal with death and the grave, power to ensure that those who trust in him will be with him on earth and in heaven and forever. Lord, we pray that you will help us as we come to your word today, that we'll understand its truth more fully, that we will understand more of what you purpose and the promises you make. And help us, as we have been singing, to walk by faith, knowing that you, O God, are everywhere. That you, O God, are ever near. That not one thing happens to us, but you know. And you have your purpose in all things, even when we cannot see them. Perhaps even in today's world, where things have slowed down so much, the hustle and bustle of life is no more at present. And we have time to think and reevaluate and refocus. Lord, use this time to enable us to draw near to you, to remember the great truths about you that we know, and to learn more together. We ask that in this time in Genesis, as we go back to beginnings, that we will understand something of the enormity of your plan and working, that we might see how we fit in, so small and insignificant in ourselves, but being made in your image with great potential and dearly loved of the Father. So, Lord, accept our prayer, accept our praise, teach our minds and thrill our hearts. And Lord, as we bow, you call us to remember our sins, to confess them before you. We ask, O Lord, that all that is wrong within us that you will deal with, that you will cleanse us afresh in the blood of Jesus, that you will enable us to understand and to apply your word, that we might live in the light of Jesus, that we might live in the knowledge of your speaking voice. Lord, hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, we find our reading today in Genesis chapter 2, reading from verses 4 to 7 and focusing primarily on verse 7. Genesis 2 at verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up. The Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Amen. We thank God for the truth of his word. Boys and girls, it's lovely to be able to speak with you again this Sunday morning. And if you've been able to tune in the last few weeks, you'll have learnt a little bit, I trust, about salvation, this great and varied gift that God has given to us. The first week we learnt that the first thing about salvation was that we have our sins forgiven. All the wrong that we have done or thought or said, when we trust Jesus as our Saviour, he takes them all away. It's as if we had never sinned. A wonderful gift. Salvation is not only that our sins are forgiven, but that we become friends of God. God doesn't just tolerate us, but he wants us to be near to him because he's forgiven us. He's made us acceptable, and he delights to be with us and for us to know that he is always there. Sins forgiven, friends of God. The third thing was changed lives. When we trust Jesus as our Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and he points out things that are wrong and things that are right, and he encourages us to live for Jesus with the changed lives that he enables us to have. And then last week, do you remember the special phrase? Can you say it? That's right, special happiness. There's a really wonderful happiness that's deep down in the heart that will always be there, even when we're sad, because that deep down happiness doesn't go away because we know that God is with us. Lots of happiness in the world today, it just evaporates when people get sad, but not so this special happiness. Remember last week? We thought about Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi, how their backs were sore, they'd been beaten. There's an earthquake, the chains fell off, and they'd been singing. The jailer had been listening and wondering, how on earth can these men sing when they're so sore? And of course, when he asked them about why they spoke of Jesus, and the jailer trusted Jesus as his Saviour, and he was filled with a great, great happiness. When we trust Jesus, we are no less happy than him. And so today we think of a fifth thing in this wonderful gift of salvation. It's something that you give away to someone else, but that you keep yourself. You give it away, but you keep it. And it's a promise. That's something that you give to someone else, but then you want to keep yourself. And God has made us wonderful promises in the Bible. And I just want to share three with you and see if you can remember them. The first is in John 10, verse 28, where Jesus says about those who trust in him, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Now, those are very simple words. I give them, it means it's a gift. So God gives a wonderful gift, and when you give a gift, the person who receives it doesn't have to buy it or pay for it, because it's a gift. So this wonderful eternal life, this salvation, is a gift from Jesus, God's only Son. And if God's Son gives us a gift, it will be a true gift, a wonderful gift, a lasting gift. It is eternal life. Then the second little scripture is Matthew 18, verse 20, where Jesus said, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." So even where we are just now, maybe with our family, in a front room, listening, two or three gathered in Jesus' name, there he is. So as we gather together, and even if someone's on their own listening to this, they're gathering together with all of us as a church family, and there's more than two or three gathering, and Jesus promises to be right beside us. And a third promise in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Wonderful promises. Boys and girls, remember these promises. Jesus gives us eternal life. And no matter where we are, when we gather in his name, we know that he is right there with us. And he will never leave us. No matter what happens, he will always be right beside us to the very end of the age. Let's have a little prayer, and we'll thank Jesus for his promises. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in life, at times when we make promises, we want to keep them, but sometimes we forget. Or sometimes we can't just do what we promise. We've promised too much. But Lord, we thank you that you're not like that. That you're God, that you're perfect, that you're all-powerful, and that you will always do exactly what you say. You will always keep your promises. And so when we read that you give us eternal life, we say, thank you, Jesus. When you promise to be with us where two or three gather in your name, we know we can't see you, but we know you're here and you're with us. And when you say you'll be with us to the very end of the age, we know that no matter what happens or where we go or where we are, you will be there and you will never, ever leave us. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for these wonderful promises, and we know that you'll always be right beside us. Lord, bless us as boys and girls, and bless all of us as we think on these things, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, as we come to think of others today, just to remember one or two pertinent things that naturally press on our minds in days like these. Let's draw near to God in prayer. Father, so quickly our thoughts turn to those who are seeking to keep our people safe at this time. And so, Lord, we pray for frontline medical staff and for the many others who support their work of caring. Please, Lord, keep them safe and well, and enable them to use their gifts to the full. even in times of increasing stress and pressure. Lord, may you renew their strength and may you be their courage. We think too of those in care homes, those who perhaps are frightened, understanding something of the situation, and for those whose minds just don't fathom things that deeply. We think of those homes run by our own denomination and many others. We pray that you'll keep them infection-free, give the staff energy and the residents a sense of calm. Pray, Lord, we pray especially for a reassurance for families of loved ones at this time when they cannot visit. Lord, just reassure them that their loved ones are in good hands. We think too, Lord, of our governments. We pray for wisdom and clarity as they continue to manage the crisis caused by coronavirus. And as they take advice as to when there might be a relaxation in the lockdown measures. Lord, we pray that whenever this is done, it will be the right time. And though we can look to figures and statistics, we can take medical advice and opinion, but Lord, we know that you know when the right time will be, and we pray that you will so overrule that the time will be your time. We pray too for the Northern Ireland Executive at this time of increased tension. We ask, O Lord, for good judgment and a wise allocation of resources and a spirit of true cooperation. Lord, we think too of our church family. We think of those who need your touch especially today, those at home, those in care, those who are anxious for themselves or their loved ones, those uncertain about what tomorrow may bring, whether to do with education or employment, whatever it may be, O God, we pray that each will be enabled to release their fears and troubles at your feet, and to know, Lord, that you, in your good time, will meet everyone's needs just as you see fit. And we know, Lord, this will be best and you will be honoured. Lord, as we come in a few moments to your word, we pray that you will bless it to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, before we come to God's word, Cain, our musical director, is going to lead us in a piece he has recorded, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, a well-known item of praise. And in that we are reminded that God doesn't just give us things, although he gives us many wonderful gifts. He also gives us of himself in the person of his Son, that which truly cost him. And so Cain sings, How Deep the Father's Love.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold a man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: his wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart: his wounds have paid my ransom.
Friends, we come to God's word together in Genesis chapter 2 and at verse 7. I've simply entitled this Dust to Glory. We are made from the dust of the earth, but God has destined us for something unspeakable. That's not what we find in the opinions and philosophies and writings of the world round about us. What is man? What might the answer be? Zoologists like Desmond Morris call man the naked ape, that man is essentially an animal, a highly sophisticated one, but an animal nonetheless. Karl Marx, in his propagation of communism, says that the essence of man is in his work. Of course, if you want to dominate people, it's good to make them focus on their work, as if their work was the only thing that would give them value. Existentialists, in other words, those who live for the moment, the existence, tell us that man is essentially volition. He is his will. He lives for what he can do, and he does it. And so we are programmed in that way, to do for ourselves whatever we feel we need and want to do. But what are we? We ask the question, who are we? And God is the one who gives us the answer. Genesis 2 verse 7 reminds us that we are the dust of the earth. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We are described as a combination of what is low and what is high. We are the dust of the ground, something low, simple, dirt. But then we are breathed into by God, something incredibly high. And so that contrast from dust to glory. We are dust. What is dust? Dust is a symbol of little value, of a humble beginning. In a sense, dust is next to nothing. God made us not from gold dust, or diamond dust, or pearl dust, but from common dust. It's also a symbol of frustration, and that ultimate frustration is death itself. Because in Genesis 3 verse 19, we read this: "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." This thought was often in Job's mind. In Job 7 verse 21 we read, "I shall soon lie down in the dust. You will search for me, but I shall be no more." David speaks about death and prophetically about Jesus in Psalm 22 verse 15, "You lay me in the dust of death." The image made from the dust speaks of an increasing despair, littleness, frustration, and even death itself. But this is not so for believers. For we have the potential of glory. Psalm 103 at verse 14. If you have a Bible and want to open it, Psalm 103 and verse 14, we read this: "For God knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord establishes his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." The reason why it is possible for man to call on God for life and life eternal is because God remembers our origin. Yes, we are dust, but we are more than dust. We are also spirit, as in our key verse today, Genesis 2, verse 7. "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being." God breathed into man his breath. The Hebrew word is ruach, and you cannot say it properly without breathing out, ruach. It means wind breath, or spirit. Here we read in Genesis 2 that man was specially created, male and female, by God's breathing some of his own breath into those he created. Man has a special relationship to God because of the divine spirit. Yet we know in Genesis that Adam rebelled against God, as did Eve. And in their sin they have come what theologians describe as totally depraved. Doesn't mean that we're depraved absolutely in everything, but it means that in anything we are less than perfect. Our whole being is corrupted by sin. There's not one thing that we do perfectly, be it a thought or a word, an ambition, an action, an emotion, whatever it is, there's not one thing that we do perfectly. We are totally depraved. So we can do nothing that is acceptable to God. We cannot understand spiritual truth unless we are helped by the Holy Spirit. We cannot even truly seek God. In Romans 3 verses 10 to 12, startling verses that no one seeks God, no one does what is good. No one seeks God the way God needs to be sought. No one does good as God defines goodness. But, friends, God seeks us. And in salvation, he recreates us according to the pattern originally set in Genesis. This is exactly what Jesus spoke about when he met with Nicodemus that night. "You must be born again," said Jesus. Of course, Nicodemus didn't understand that. He thought of being born a second time from his mother's womb. He didn't understand about this born from above, born again, a spiritual birth, a new birth. Just as Adam was born of God originally. Check out Luke chapter 3 verse 37 in that genealogy. Adam, born of God. Adam, the one into whom God breathed his ruach, his breath, and made him a living being. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Fallen man gives birth to fallen man. But God gives new life through his Spirit, breathing into us as he once breathed into Adam. And without that necessary rebirth, a person cannot see the kingdom of God. We are totally dependent on God for our existence as dust. And we are totally dependent upon God for our existence as glory, as what he will make us in Jesus. As the dust of the earth, we depend upon God for physical life. Isaiah teaches that our physical dependence on God, he teaches us this in a fascinating verse, in Isaiah 2, verse 22. "Stop trusting in man, who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he?" In other words, do not trust in man who can only hold one breath at a time. Trust in God, whose breath is inexhaustible. We can only take one breath at a time. We breathe in, we hold, we breathe out, then we must breathe in again or we die. Nothing could better describe our utter dependence on God for physical life than one breath at a time. But what about eternity? We not only depend upon God for our breathing on earth as dust, but we depend upon God for eternal life, that we might dwell with him in glory. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, we read, "The first man, Adam, became a living being." That refers back to our verse, Genesis 2, verse 7. But we also read that the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Now, what does Paul mean? Simply this: Adam existed by breathing in, and the breath he breathed in was from God. He could not exist without God. Jesus, on the other hand, is the one who breathes out, for he is the life-giving spirit. We breathe in to live. When we breathe out, we don't give life to anyone. But when Jesus breathes out, he gives life. Life in all its fullness. This breath, this ruach, speaks of the all-encompassing, powerful breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. It's Jesus who gives us life. We live physically only because God permits us. We live spiritually. We live eternally only as we turn to him in faith and surrender. Dust to glory. We depend upon God for every breath we take on earth. We depend upon God to breathe new life into us, the glory of the gospel. We are to receive. We are to trust. We are to honor this same Jesus. May you know God's blessing in your hearts today, friends. Let us pray. Father, we bless you that when we look to you, O God, you give us the answer, what is man? We bless you that we are made from the dust of the earth, of little value in itself, but you breathed life into us. And even though we are fallen in sin, we have that potential, that rebirth of your spirit, that you'll breathe into us again as you breathed into Adam. Adam, who had a sweet walk with you in the garden until he fell in sin. We bless you that the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the new man who has come into this world, your eternal Son, is the one who breathes out. He is the Ruach, he is the breath of life. May we each know that touch of God's breath through Jesus in our souls even today. New life of God, new life from Jesus, brought by the Spirit. Lord, bless our hearts today, and let us rejoice that though we are dust, in Christ we are destined for glory. Hear our prayer, accept our praise, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, our closing praise is number 1183, Holy Spirit, living breath of God. The Ruach, God breathes out, and he gives us life. So let us rejoice as we sing. Friends, we part now with God's blessing given to us in the Scriptures. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all this day and evermore. Amen.